Today's episode of The Wretched Hive is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/hive, H-I-V-E. You can get over 180,000 titles to choose from for your phone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to The Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Eisley Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
Boy, it's as if Harrison Ford is piloting Skype tonight. There we go. Had to get it in there. That Harrison Ford character is a menace. Yet another near miss. I think he's down to 6 lives, actually. But he's freaking Han Solo. He can fly wherever he wants to, and he's just maybe flying too casual. I don't know. Anyway, you have found The Wretched Hive for Friday, February 17th, 2017, episode 30 of the show. And we have a lot of news to cover tonight in a short amount of time. We've got we've got Bob Iger recently making some announcements at the Disney shareholder meeting.
I thought you were about to announce Bob Iger was going to be on the show with us tonight, and I was like, I got to change my shirt.
Actually, you know what? He is going to be on the show tonight. Just his voices. How about that?
I don't do a Bob Geiger impression, guys. just so we're clear here.
This is the real thing.
Does he sound like a bat? Does he sound like George Lucas? George Lucas and or Sean Connery.
Here we go, guys. I'll just do a Bob Iger. But you know what? Michael Eisner sucks, man. I'm the one that runs the company. That's how it goes.
That's Bob Iger doing Mickey Mouse, sounds like. We've got Han Solo movie news. We've got episode 8 news. So we have a packed show. And we have a full slate of co-hosts. I'm Steve Baldwin. And joining me as he always does, my bearded Wookiee co-host, Greg Lent.
Bearded Wookiee sounds like a euphemism for something. I demand we start the show over and come up with a new tagline, because a bearded Wookiee sounds like something I don't know if I want to be. But anyway, thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here, as always. And I just want to say that Dave Potter and I are keen with our eyes to the skies, because apparently it's raining death from above in the form of one Han Solo here in Orange County.
Yeah. You got that right, sir. He's needs to stop trying to do the Kessel run in 11 parsecs. He needs to just stay in his lane, and things will be better for him.
Literally stay in his lane.
Yes.
That's a nice bearded Wookiee. Thanks, I just had it stuffed. Also joining the show tonight, lifelong Skype fan Scott Evansky.
Just watch out, I'm off my lewds tonight. That's all I'm saying. It's going to be a crazy night.
You stopped the Quaaludes?
I did.
You want nudes?
Going clean.
Did you sending you nudes?
Did you say lewds? Yes. Or lubes?
Yes.
Oh man.
You stopped I'm on that trail.
Stopped the Quaaludes and the lubes. Oh man, I'm sorry. Sorry,
it's going to be a good time tonight, guys. Good time.
It's going to be a painful night for somebody.
Also joining the show, he's the captain of the Millennial Falcon. He is Nico Rodriguez.
Yo, I'm here. Skype, dude, we got to get off Skype. You guys are so old with the Skype thing. It's not fun anymore. We really do need to get off this. Join the 21st century. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, you know what?
There's better things.
I'm always arguing with the millennials and hating on them, but damn it, I got to tell you, Nico, tonight, I think you're dead on right. We're old, and this is fucking lame. You got to get a new service, man. Skype is out. Thank God they're not our sponsor.
Well, as you mentioned, Nico, there's some pretty good web-based apps out there, so we're gonna do some
guys. Big announcement! We've got a new sponsor with the show. I'd like to introduce Skype, our latest sponsor. Thank you for the kind words, as always.
If you need an unclear call that drops consistently.
Greg, is this like Arby's was to The Daily Show? Can we just shred them for the next 5 years?
And finally, we have Dave! Under no circumstances.
Except unless you're using Skype.
Should you ever.
Oh, God, never.
Never!
Really never.
Call him.
Dirty.
Harry Potter.
Hooter.
Greeting. That's what she said. Greetings and salutations, everybody. And I do not speak for this White House, but I will speak for this administration here on this podcast. And I will say that we are putting Skype on notice. We are absolutely right. Putting Skype on notice. Yes.
Well, the show.
Sad. Terrible.
The show lasted a lot longer than Flynn did. Say that. Actually, oh, this episode that's, might last longer.
Yeah. That was a land speed record right there. I mean, wow.
Yeah. It's
so Flynn was national security advisor. Is that what he was? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yes, he was. Security.
The average length of service for national service advisors since the creation of the post, average length of service, 2.6 years. Or maybe 2.4 years. Somewhere close to two and a half years. He lasted 26 days.
Wow.
First. 26 days.
So, that's some serendipity there. 2.6 years versus 26 days. Interesting.
He's bringing the average down. That's what he's
I was going to say. He really lowered that curve, guys. Really lowered
that I want to say that's about 10%, but that math doesn't work out.
Mathematicians are going to throw that one out because it's so far outside of the range of what everything else is.
That's right. Oh, nice job. Nice job. Doing fine work. Stand-up guy.
If you would like to call or Facebook us and tell us about how far out of the typical range we are, please do so. Visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/WretchedHivePodcast. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail. The Wretched Hive hotline is 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. And leave us a message, and it will very likely get played on the air. So, guys, it's been an interesting couple of weeks, and we're going to get started. We're just going to jump right in if our producer can find the clip. Here it is. Let's talk about some news here, guys.
From ABC News World Headquarters. This is ABC World News Tonight.
No, it's not. It's Star Wars news with the Wretched Hive.
So be it.
Do you guys ever get a chance to go online and listen to these Disney shareholder meetings?
I think I did 1 year, Steve. What? I literally was bored to tears.
Yeah. Well, I took one for the team this week, guys, because... heard about some announcements that a certain Mr. Bob Iger had made about Star Wars The Last Jedi and Star Wars Episode 8, of course. And it's the first $1 billion movie for Disney this year. The first one this year, he says. But there was a little surprise when Iger made the announcement. See if you can catch it. Here we go.
Rogue One, our first standalone Star Wars story, also connected with audiences in a big way. It's our first $1 billion movie of the fiscal year, as well as our fourth $1 billion release in calendar 2016, further demonstrating the incredible strength of this franchise. Star Wars, The Last Jedi, otherwise known as Episode 8, will open in December, and I just saw it last week. It's a great next chapter in the iconic Skywalker family saga. It will be followed by our Han Solo origin film, which is just going into production. Our studio's next release is our live action.
So did you catch it?
That he saw it?
He already saw it. It's done.
Bob Iger has seen episode 8.
So, guys, my question is, why are we doing this right now? We're not staking out Bob Iger's house. Come on.
I would hope Bob Iger has seen episode 8 at this point. I would be very disappointed in the corporate structure at the Disney mothership if he had not.
You know, to me, it just seems wrong that somebody like Bob Stinkin' Iger has seen Star Wars.
And your plebeian ass hasn't yet? Is that what
it doesn't even have to be me. It should be somebody of like import, somebody who can like, you know, chronicle the event with some type of historic, you know, note there. But Bob Iger.
Yeah. You know, I'd be okay with it if he could just throw a little enthusiasm into that mix. I just saw it. We've got.
You know, I think you're right. Yeah, he's like, he's just like, so it was. Yeah.
Let me tell you, I don't care what suits you're talking to. You're at Disney. It's the Mouse House. You're talking to the people that you now own, not just Marvel. You own the Star Wars franchise. Come on, Bob. Pep it up a little bit. Be like, oh my God, Star Wars 8. Holy crap. We're going to sell another billion.
Yeah, imagine like if Chris Hardwick. To pull a name from Pop Quiz. If Chris Hardwick had seen episode 8, or Kevin Smith, somebody of that, you know, of that, you know,
yes,
ilk. I'm not super famous, but, you know, also able to convey excitement over a project.
You know what, Greg? I'm going to throw something else in on this. I'm a huge Kevin Smith fan, but lately his enthusiasm gets to me because it always turns into, believe it or not, a little too much crying.
he is high all the time.
So high. It goes from pure excitement to a ball of tears instantly. So I'm going to go with Chris Hardwick on this one. I would rather see Chris Hardwick excited over this film than Kevin Smith at this point because, I don't know, I just don't need to be getting the robo out.
Well, in other Last Jedi news, we had John Williams, who actually won his 5th Grammy earlier this month for his
Beyonce
his
work on the... robbed, by the way. He totally stole it from Beyonce.
It was really awkward when she took the mic, like ripped it out of his hand.
Yeah.
It was weird. But he, on his 85th birthday, which was just a couple of weeks ago, he celebrated by going into the studio and recording the score for The Last Jedi.
And he did it blind because apparently he's never seen a Star Wars movie. So right. He's just like just writing music and shit. And he's like, somebody make a ship fly by there in this part.
But it's got to be really interesting for him because, you know, usually he's made these movies, you know, like on a 6 weeks time schedule, you know, leading up to the release of the film. And this thing is done. It's in the can 7 months ahead of time. It's a little crazy.
I'm good with it. I'm hoping. Come on, John. Make it another 2 years. Let's get to the last movie. You'll be good.
Yeah.
At that point, we'll be good because we're the ones who want. We want him. He obviously gives zero shits about Star Wars if he's never fucking seen one.
Yes. How many shits does John Williams give? That's zero, people. Zero.
This many. Now, you mentioned that... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Greg.
They were... So, yeah, they have a pretty good cut of this movie put together so far. So right now, it's just bare bones. It's all green screen. It's animatics. It's the pre-vis storyboards and things like that. They can go back, and then they'll do their pickup shoots, and then they'll do their final visualizations for all of the special effects that are going in.
So but
this movie has a structure as it is right now. Got it.
But what I'm hearing is this is basically 8-bit Star Wars at this point.
Exactly.
Nice.
Hey, now, we're a Nintendo podcast? What's going on here?
Now, earlier in the show, somebody mentioned that made the obvious observation that Disney also owns another franchise called Marvel. You guys ever heard of Marvel?
Heard
this little thing, but they also own something else that I was reminded about listening to Mr. Iger and
all of our souls.
Have a little clip of that here. Check this out.
In our domestic parks, this year we'll open a great addition to Disney's Animal Kingdom with a brand new world of Pandora. Our Imagineers have brought the breathtaking world of Pandora to life through astonishing feats of artistic genius and groundbreaking engineering. The result is an exquisite environment with phenomenal attractions. And today, I'm happy to announce this incredible new world will officially open on May 27th.
Okay, Pandora opening May 27th. Who's pumped up? Let's go!
Oh my god, I'm sorry, I nodded off there, guys. Some old man was just droning on about something or other. I couldn't quite figure out what it was.
I actually thought that was Iger snoring over himself. but in addition to Pandora opening, there was another little announcement about something else.
Additionally,
here, check this out.
Our progress continues on Star Wars lands at Disneyland Resort and Walt Disney World, both of which will open in calendar 2019.
All right, so Star Wars Land at Disneyland opening in 2019. And in Florida. Opening 2019.
Yes, by then, tickets should be about $200 a day.
No, you're not kidding. I saw something else. I don't have it here, but I think Disney's raising their prices again to get in.
Yep.
So during the summer, at the height of the season, it's like close to $150.
You know, and it was – the attendance was down at the – at least the California park. Attendance was down last year. You know, all of us, having grown up here in Southern California, I think all of us on the show, as hosts of the show, have a soft spot for Disneyland and have fond memories of going there as children and then with our families as with our own children as well. And it's a shame going there now. It's not the same experience now. It really. I still enjoy going, and I still my kids still like going and everything like that. But it's always just so damn crowded.
Yeah. Well, it's magic, guys. It's fun. But definitely that when we were younger and even prior to us. I know my mother and a few of her friends and relatives as well have talked about that. It's different. It's totally different. And it eats away at you right away that you're paying $150 a ticket, basically, to get in. And then so much has changed that, and not necessarily for the better. Disney's always about innovation and changing, and I understand that concept. But it's let's hope Star Wars Land is... I'm sure it'll be fun when it first opens, but let's hope it holds on to that fun and retains it for a few years to come afterwards.
I was going to say, as awful as we are talking about Disneyland being, I guarantee I know where it'll be some 20.
Yeah. So I got about half of that. Skype is really breaking up on us. Can you repeat that again, Dave?
Yeah, I said for all the complaining and grousing that we are doing about Disneyland right here and now, I guarantee I know where all of us will be at some point in 2019.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. No doubt.
I guarantee that right now there are 5 sniper rifles trained on all of our heads for speaking bad about the mouse right now.
Sure there are. Hang on.
In the back of our heads. There's
right now.
Digital targeting... aimed at the Wretched Hive. Well, that actually, guys, brings us to our next segment.
Wait a minute. Let's back up for a minute.
Oh, go ahead.
Since you brought it up, let's talk about it a little bit. Is sure. anybody excited about an Avatar Land at Disney World? Is anybody excited about Avatar 2? Does anybody even care about this franchise anymore?
No.
You're still gonna see the movie though.
From going to see the movie.
I was gonna say you're still gonna see the movie at least once.
Hey, I have seen complete shit, and I've been excited about going to see complete shit at movies. So even though I'm not excited about Avatar anymore, I'm probably going to go see it. But that being said, no, I'm not really excited about it or all seven parts that James Cameron's doing and whatever new 3D effects he's going to add or whatever. Hmm. You know, I might have to sell off some unobtainium to buy tickets.
Okay, I'm going to kind of contradict myself here because I don't have any feeling at all about the sequel to the Avatar project. I don't have any excitement at all towards the Avatar lands at Disneyland. However, I will say, if there is one person who could take a project where it seems like there is no hope for it to succeed in all probability it's going to fail and actually will it to succeed, it is James Cameron.
That's true.
That guy has taken more stuff that people have said is going to fail, is going to be a disaster, it's never going to work, and has made it work and made it work better than anybody.
Yeah, Titanic is one of the most incredible examples of that, Greg.
And Avatar,
that is correct.
Yeah.
Titanic was unbelievably bashed by almost everybody that, 11 months building up to it, and it turned out to be one of the highest grossing films of all time.
And check this out. Only fucking 18 years later, its lead actor gets a fucking Oscar.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. They talked about casting Leonardo DiCaprio, that he was just a young pretty boy who couldn't act. They talked about the ridiculousness of the amount of money that he was spending on the sets down in Mexico. They talked about the production delays, of which there were several. I think it was pushed, the release date was pushed back 3 or 4 times, and taking it a year past its initial release date. And it was just disaster after disaster after disaster was happening. And then the movie came out, and it was a juggernaut. It was a monster.
It was. It broke records like I had never seen before in my entire life at the box office. It actually made money on weekends far beyond its initial release date. It actually went up on weekends, and that shocked me. It would go from 17 million over a weekend to like 22 million the next weekend. I'm like, how does a movie increase in its second or third or fourth or 17th weekend at the box office? It was shocking to see that movie make that money. And I know it's all because of Leonardo and what's her name? Kate
Winslet.
Yeah.
Kate Winslet.
Jack and Rose.
Yummy.
I mean,
all that said, I am exactly as excited for Avatar 2 as I am for Ferngully 2.
You didn't like Ferngully 2?
No. And I didn't like Ferngully 1 for that matter.
I love Ferngully 2, except it was called Avatar.
All right, so that leads us to a little surprise. It's been a while since we did this, guys. Star Wars choices.
It's a little game we like to call Star Wars Choices.
Think of a hard choice you'll face in the near future.
You must choose.
Okay, would you rather be intimate with a Wookiee?
Choose wisely.
Or be intimate with Princess Leia in the gold bikini, but it's the modern day Carrie Fisher?
I just assumed it's a Wookiee.
Star Wars Choices.
You know, it occurs to me we might need to redo that intro with the passing of Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, hooking up with the modern day Carrie Fisher at this point is a really horrendous thought.
that's a great point. I hadn't thought about that before. I played that like an idiot just now.
No, it's okay. Maybe I should have saved that note for off air, but just throwing it out.
No,
they say. Edit all this out. Nobody will know.
Jesus.
We may just have to take this out. I don't know if I can sit with that with that intro. we had one of our Facebook listeners post online that she hasn't listened to our show since December because she's been so broken up about Carrie Fisher.
Oh, I saw that. Saw that. Yeah. Who is that, Faith?
That's Faith, our good friend Faith.
Was it Faith? Or
does Faith realize that we did not kill Carrie Fisher? Does Faith realize that?
Yes. Clarify that right now, Greg. Just put it out there.
We are not responsible.
Wow. I don't know. I think I'm taking this out.
No, leave it, man.
Really?
No, let's go with it.
Leave it in there. All right, okay. Roll. All right. Well, here we go. We'll just do this. There we go. Okay, so would you rather...
Would you take out the part where we disrespectfully talk about Carrie Fisher, or would you rather leave it in the show?
There you go. There you go. All right. So that's your choices, guys. Dave, what say you? Do we take this out, or do we leave it in the show?
Leave it.
I'm team leave it in.
All right. So
leave it.
We got three for leave it.
Trust me, I'm all about leaving it in.
Steve is pulling it out. All the rest of us are leaving it in.
Never pull out. Come on.
I've got more kids than any of you. My God.
Never give up, never surrender.
And Nico, you are. What say you on the take it out or leave it in?
I say fucking leave it, man. This is who we are.
Yeah! All right, leave it in wins.
What was the actual Star Wars choices, though? What was the plan?
This show just went from a nice, average, fun show to holy shit, it is hotter than hell in here. Yes!
The actual question was, would you rather listen to Bob Iger talk about Pandora for 2 hours?
Oh, God.
Or would you rather dress as one of those blue Pandora people and give autographs in Pandora at Disney World for 2 hours?
Oh, blue Pandora people blue. All the way.
I'm going blue Pandora people. Pandora, yep.
All right.
That is easy, my friend.
That's two.
Yeah, I listening to 30 seconds of Bob Iger just completely knocked me out. And listening to 30 seconds of Bob Iger talking about Pandora, I think, puts me in a coma. So for the sake that I like living my life as it is, I think I have to. Do the dress up as the blue people.
You guys are kind of rude. Bob, what do you say to them?
In our domestic park, this year we'll open a great addition to Disney.
Okay. Nico, you want to listen to Bob or dress as one of those blue people from Pandora?
Dude, I'm a millennial. I don't know who the fuck Bob Iger is. I don't want to listen to some old man talk about who knows what the fuck. Come on.
There you go. This is Ben. Star Wars Choices. All right. That's got to be one of the best segments we've ever done, I think, on the show. Very strong.
It was a twofer. It was a twofer as well.
Yeah,
what it was,
you got so. Two. Yep, we got a bonus round this week. Should we continue with that segment or never do Star Wars Choices again? That's your choice. All right. Guys, let's continue with the news. Let's see. Let me pull up my browser. We have some Han Solo news. Han Solo movie is now under production. Yes,
everybody,
sir.
Duck. Harrison Ford is coming in. Everybody, duck.
We'll get there. So, actually, Scott, you posted this in the show notes with Variety reporting. Through movieplot.com, some possible news on a new actress. There seems to be a lot of people that want to be in Star Wars. It's kind of shocking. These actors want a little piece of the Star Wars pie. But apparently there's a show, I've never seen it, called Fleabag.
Yeah.
You know about this?
It's on a Netflix or a Hulu show, I think.
Right.
What'd you call me?
Fleabag. and the actress's name on the show, it looks like, I'm trying to see where it is. I think it's a Netflix show. Phoebe Waller-Bridge. She is in talks to star in the new Han Solo movie. Very attractive young lady. As a, apparently, Scott, a digital character?
Yeah.
Oh, we lost Scott. Well, according...
I can still see him, but I can't hear him.
Scott's having Mac issues tonight, but...
Scott, if you can hear me, give me the finger.
Excellent.
Awesome. Okay. So we can talk about him. That's great. And he can't say anything back. potentially playing a CGI character similar to Maz Kanata in The Force Awakens.
Wait a minute. Scott is signing something to me right now. I can see what he's saying. He's saying, I like big butts, and I cannot lie.
Wow, I didn't...
You other brothers cannot deny? Huh. I think it's deny. Huh. He continues.
We're giving each other the bird in very unique ways. So let's just say that. For those of you not on camera right now, for you listeners at home, as it were.
So back to the story. I have not seen this Fleabag show. I do not know who Phoebe Heller Walker Jr. Texas Ranger is.
Okay, and I think the only person that knew about this story is currently self-muted somehow. So that's okay.
It would be nice if he would unmute himself so he could talk to us a little bit.
Yeah, I had seen an article about this, and I was intrigued at the idea that this would be the first female robot, potentially.
Yes.
I think Dot Matrix from Spaceballs was the first female robot.
In Star Wars, sir. And that just intrigued me because I hadn't thought of it before. And it seems like some kind of weird oversight that hasn't happened. Or maybe it was a deliberate choice by Lucas that there weren't gender-specific robots.
Right. Yeah, I mean, some of them clearly are very masculine, but I think you can make arguments for, who says R2-D2's a boy? A male.
I think they're kind of asexual. They're robots. They're not like sex bots.
I will say, I think the nurse robots that delivered Luke and Leia in episode 3, from the voice, I'm pretty sure they were female.
Buddha.
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 We're rolling again. All right, so let's move on from this story that does not want to be told. And on to another story about actually Clone Wars, Star Wars The Clone Wars. I know some of us have watched a little bit of that show, but announcement this week was Star Wars The Clone Wars is leaving Netflix. It's been available for Netflix. Uh-oh. Let's see. All right, are we back?
We're back.
Okay.
Finally back. Holy shit. This took some time.
We had some serious technical difficulties, which is actually
a surprise to longtime listeners of the show.
Right.
Back streets back. All right.
But hopefully we sound nice and clear now because we actually changed our recording platform. We're using a different app.
Altogether. We've unfortunately been dropped by Skype. We are no longer sponsored.
Yeah, I put Skype on notice and Skype responded appropriately. So sorry about that, guys. My fault.
We've actually jumped forward about 4 years from the point we were at last time, and now we are all now officially old men.
We fired Skype faster than the head of national security.
Nico, yes. I thought you were actually going to say we fired Scott.
Oh, no.
Damn close.
Scott is very hired. 85 fuck yous and goddammits later, we're here.
Oh no,
Scott! Scott, welcome to the 22nd century. All right, let's go, Scott.
All right, well,
Scott, giving me choices.
I am giving you choices.
Is that what the is that the lyric? Is it Scott giving me choices?
I think Scott needs to introduce that new segment.
I will be giving you all choices from now on.
Wow.
Fuck my balls.
Family show. Family show. Since never. All right. Well, let's just jump back into the news and see how this goes. We're on the cutting edge of technology here at the Wretched Hive.
Steve, where did we leave?
Yes, we are.
We left off talking about the one of the female cast additions for the new Han Solo movie, if I remember correctly.
That was like an hour ago.
Not just one female cast addition, though. There are actually two female cast additions that Steve and I were just discussing. So did you want me to introduce that second one, Steve?
Yeah, so we talked about Phoebe Waller.
Along with Phoebe Waller-Bridge, the Han Solo movie. Oh, let's go back. So we've also, of course, starring the multi-talented Alden Ehrenreich.
Right.
Bless you.
Donald Glover.
On this Glover. New, on this new crystal clear recording platform, the Ehrenreich really comes out sharp. Sounds great.
Yeah.
Oh, I spoke too soon.
As we've covered in the past, the Woodman, Woody Harrelson.
Right.
Have I covered all of them? I think that is. And now, along with Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Texas Walker, we've also got Westworld's Tandy Newton, the lovely and talented Tandy Newton, who was one of the main female leads. I forget what her name was in Westworld. She was real good in Westworld. She was the madam who worked for the madam at the brothel there in the Westworld, who came to life in the real world and almost escaped, but was drawn back in at the last minute. Spoiler alert for Westworld.
If I haven't watched that show, I'm going to be really pissed right now.
No, you're not.
Oh, my God. Almost like when you fucking watch The Walking Dead and your hive maze ruin the entire fucking season for you. Holy shit.
Guys, I don't know if we need to get any more off track than we already have gotten on this show. So, please, can we rein it in just a little bit?
Now, did you mention Emilia Clarke? Did you?
Daenerys Targaryen.
Oh, Daenerys. Okay. Targaryen. Okay, you did. Yeah. Okay, good.
So, again, another reason why this is going to be just a stellar, stellar film.
Yeah, this cast is phenomenal.
One might say it's off the chain.
Well, and Larry Kasdan said this was his favorite. See, I know him, so I just... It's Larry. It's not Lawrence for me. He said that it's his favorite script. He thinks it's a great script, and it's really, really funny.
So, as a segue, true story about a discussion I had at my comic book store with... another longtime patron there. He was actually very anti Han Solo movie. And I assuaged his fears when I looked at him. I said, "You really are against a Han Solo movie as written by Lawrence Kasdan." And he kind of froze and looked at me and said, "Wait, Kasdan did the script?" And I was like, "Yeah, where have you been? What news are you avoiding reading?" He also threw out, because he said he was going to be disappointed if this was how Han Solo got the Millennium Falcon, because he felt like that was just too on the nose. And I actually thought that was a more interesting objection, just in terms of what do we think the movie is going to be about, or will it have that key moment of Star Wars history, or will they try to tell a Han Solo story without involving the Millennium Falcon and maybe save that for a second, you know, Solo Han, you know, Han Solo movie.
Yeah, you know, this came up a little bit the last time we Hivers all joined together. Was would this be the exchanging of the Falcon in that most famous of Sabacc games? And I don't think you can let the moment pass without having that exchange happen. But I still maintain it would be a great tease for a second Han Solo movie. Have Lando retain ownership of the Falcon through the end of this movie and save that for a part two, if you will.
An electric boogaloo, as it were?
Exactly.
I mean, to me, that's such a classic moment in Star Wars history. I don't think you can skip over that in this movie. I have a feeling it's going to be a really important part of the movie, actually. I wouldn't be surprised if some big plot point centered around him getting the Falcon.
So if he...
I'm inclined to agree with you, Steve.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be great if they did leave it, though?
Oh, I see.
It would just leave you wanting more?
Sure.
And that was what my question was going to be, was are you going to be disappointed if Han Solo does not own the Millennium Falcon by the time the end credits roll?
I expect him not to. I don't think I'll be disappointed because I'm going to expect him not to.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Nico.
Because
I
I'd be disappointed if he did. That's cheesy.
I expect it's going to happen in this movie. I would be happy if it does not, though, because that means there's going to be a second film. Mm-hmm. And with the way things are shaping up, yeah, I would really like to see a second film. Having seen nothing of this story, of anything, I'm really excited about this film. I already want to see a sequel to it.
Yep. I think it's going to be fantastic. And it really doesn't matter if it is or not, because we're all going to see it at least three times.
Goddamn right.
Yep. So, guys, let's move on here. We've got some interesting news from episode 8 that we need to cover. By the way, 300 days from today, episode 8 hits the theaters. And even 300 days. And there's an awesome rumor on the internet. And what's that?
Shocking.
Yes, shocking. There's rumors on the internet. I don't know if you've heard about them. There are internet rumors. And some of them were related to Star Wars. And one of them this week that I really got a kick out of was, who is Benicio del Toro potentially playing? You know, there's been so many cast announcements for the Han Solo movie. I actually forgot temporarily that Benicio del Toro is in episode 8.
I did too, actually. Yep. And Laura Dern as well.
Laura Dern.
Yep. Isn't he playing the Collector?
Yeah, I was going to say
wrong movie.
So Laura Dern chases dinosaurs. I know that.
So this was RadioTimes.com who posted this great Twitter rumor. And in our switch over to technology, guys, I've lost my tabs. So I don't have the actual article, but I can get pretty close to the thesis of it, which was that could Benicio del Toro be playing a character from the Clone Wars named Ezra, who's one of the stars of the Clone Wars? Could he be playing Ezra as an old man? And could that character be Rey's father?
You're talking Ezra from Rebels, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, what did I say? Clone Wars. Oh, sorry. You're right. Ezra from Star Wars Rebels.
There were a few dots there.
So if you look at the character, of course, Ezra from Rebels is a kid. He's a teenager. But I like the idea of Benicio del Toro playing such a key role, because he's such a great actor. And
I think it would be, you know, if they're going that route, if that's the route they're going, if that's the way they're going to go with Benicio del Toro's character, I think it would be just straight up Ezra, not Ezra's father, because Ezra's of the right age, because Rebels is pre-original trilogy.
Right.
And episode 8 is 20, well, we figured it out, but I think it's 20 years later, 20 some odd years later. So you take Ezra, who's probably a young teen. Well, no, maybe, yeah, I guess Benicio is a little bit older than that.
No, this is exactly what this article was saying, is that as Benicio del Toro is Ezra as an old man, and he is also Rey's father.
So they're saying that Rey is a bridger, is what they're saying.
Yes.
I get you.
So this is a Reddit. I found the link. So the Reddit is Darth_Hodor. H-O-D-O-R.
Darth Hodor. Oh, Darth Hodor.
Gotta love it.
That's awful.
Let's see. He theorizes Ezra turns to the dark side, and he's got, if you watch the show, he's got a little glint of the dark side there already. You can tell. Ezra turns to the dark side, joining forces with Snoke to manipulate the Jedi, starting with Ben Solo, Kylo Ren. After discovering the plot, so the theory goes, Luke then hides Rey from her true father, who is Ezra, hides her on Jakku, and Ezra and Snoke then attempt to destroy Luke's Jedi Temple in retaliation. Luke goes into hiding, and then we pick up at episode 7. So I thought it was an interesting theory, and I like the idea of these characters, someone like Ezra, young, impressionable, with an edge, flipping to the dark side, and that's the reason Luke has to hide his daughter from him, is that he is with Snoke. Anyway, I love these rumors. They're so dumb. Half of them. But it's just, it's fascinating reading.
The story concept, the story idea there that they're talking about it is a good one. So there was either another Jedi Knight, perhaps Jedi Master, or maybe another pupil of Luke's who's turned along with Ben Solo, Kylo Ren. Mm-hmm. And that person's daughter has to be hidden because they recognize her as Force sensitive. I don't know about the tie-in with it being Ezra Bridger, though. I don't know if that really excites me, only because it just seems like tying it in for tying it in's sake. I guess we haven't heard enough of Ezra's story in Rebels, really, to see if that really makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is Ezra really that strong? They've given no indication that Ezra is, you know, any stronger in the Force than any other Jedi may have been. Because obviously, Anakin, very strong in the Force. Luke, untrained, but very strong in the Force from when he's picked up on Tatooine. They've really given no indication that Ezra is any more special of a Jedi than anybody. I don't know how well that fits into sticking him into the new saga, so to speak.
Well, I like the tie-ins. I like the tie-ins with the shows. I think from Disney's perspective, it makes a lot of sense to tie in Clone Wars and Rebels with the films. And this would be a nice, easy one for them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
So another little fun thing that I found last week about episode 8. Sorry, I'm trying to manipulate this new web browser and talk at the same time. I can't do two things at once. Daisy Ridley and Josh Gad have been having some fun together. They're on a movie set together. Have you seen this? Where they're filming? I think it's the Orient Express. Or Murder on the Orient Express. Josh Gad is a huge Star Wars fan. Of course, Daisy Ridley, having finished filming episode 8, he is he's trying to get information out of poor Daisy. And so he's trying to trick her into spilling her guts about Star Wars while on camera. Have you guys seen these videos at all? They're posted on Instagram and Twitter, and they're kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
They're kind of
for anybody who doesn't know, Josh Gad, if you're a Broadway fan, was in the original cast of Book of Mormon, the South Park guys. I'm forgetting that. Trey Stone and Matt Parker, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so Book of Mormon is their show that they had, and Josh Gad was a member of the Broadway cast. And he's also, if you have kids, he was the voice of the Iceman dude in the Frozen movie. The guy with the ice balls.
Olaf,
the ice ball man.
He's a snowman.
Right.
That's Josh Gad. Super funny.
Funny guy. And so I've got a clip here. He's here. He's inviting Daisy into his trailer. And, trying to get some information out of her. Check this out.
Hey, you want to tell us something?
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm so glad you could come over. Come over. So, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. You look great, by the way.
Thank you.
This really suits you.
She does look good, too.
I had an important question to ask you, and I'm so sorry. I meant to call you last night, and it's about today's scene.
Yeah.
Who are the last Jedi?
The last Jedi.
No. Because is it one or is it more than one? Because I need it in order to figure out what we're doing on the train today.
I can't ask you about Frozen 2.
So is it plural? I'll tell you that Olaf is in Frozen 2. Is it more than one Jedi? Is it?
Anyway, goes on for a while. And there's a couple of these videos where he's like, can we act out this scene? And then you say your line and I'll say mine, okay? And, you know, he says his line and gives her line, which is like, you know, what happens to Luke or, you know, whatever. So it's pretty funny. They're having fun with it. And there's actually a third video with Judi Dench that I don't have. But look those up. Those are a lot of fun.
I don't think I've seen the Judi Dench one. That's hilarious. Like actually Judi Dench, Dame Judi Dench.
Yeah. Yep. She's sitting over in the corner and, you know, he's trying to talk her into giving up some Star Wars tidbits and that he pans over and Judi Dench is in the corner. You know,
that's freaking awesome.
She starts asking her Star Wars questions. It's pretty strong.
That's just awesome. Way to go, Josh. Keeping hope alive over there.
Josh is doing God's work, as it were.
Right. That's right.
All right, so guys, we had one final story that we needed to cover on the show today, and this is about our maybe the biggest star in Star Wars, Harrison Ford. And Harrison Ford is a very accomplished pilot. Actually, he's won awards from aviation enthusiasts.
Allegedly.
Yeah, no, and I think he won an award, something like Living Legend of Aviation or something like that. But so he's an accomplished pilot, but he's been having some problems. Guys, in the last couple of years, he famously crashed his vintage World War II airplane onto a golf course in Santa Monica. And just this week, he had a little mishap at John Wayne Airport in Orange County. He was given instructions to land on a particular runway and instead mistook the taxiway for the runway, flying directly over, just a few feet over, a 737 that was parked there with nearly 200 people on it.
That is a serious, like, holy shit moment, too. It was like a serious holy shit moment.
Yeah, his quote was to the reporter, or to the air traffic controller as he's landing, "Was that airliner meant to be beneath me?"
We're like, "Was that airliner meant to be beneath me?"
So thankfully, he's okay. Nobody was injured. And he may get cited for, I guess you can get, tickets for making the wrong turn in an airplane the same way that you can when you're driving. So he might get cited for that.
He could lose his license for that from what I've read.
Yeah, I've heard it may go so far as he may actually lose his license to fly. And God, please, for the love of God, take away this man's flying license because he is a menace to everything in the air.
Well, I was just going to say, isn't there a point where for a driver's license and contrary to what Nico would say, none of us are old enough to know this, but isn't there a point age-wise where they mandatory give you additional checks whenever you try to renew it to make sure you can still handle it after a certain point? And if we do that, why aren't we doing that for airplanes? Because I love Harrison Ford, but the dude is 74. Let's just be real.
Maybe it's time to give it up. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe it's time to give it up. That's all I'm saying.
Mr. Ford goes on to say is certified as a private pilot, is rated by the FAA to fly several types of aircraft, including a helicopter, which he also crashed at one point, I remember a few years ago. According to agency records, he's been inducted into the Living Legends of Aviation and has an honor named after him, the Harrison Ford Aviation Legacy Award.
The dude used to spend his time in the mountains of Wyoming or Montana or something like that, in the wilds of Wyoming and Montana, rescuing lost hikers with his helicopter. He was part of the search and rescue team.
Wow.
For the National Forest Service out there.
Now, Mr. Ford, if you're listening, just stay on the ground. We want you to stay around so you can come back as a force ghost for, you know, episode 9. But be safe, man.
The guy is going to go full John Denver. You know he's going to go full John Denver. That's all I'm saying.
Dude,
Dude, that's so not. That is so not cool.
It's the very lonely Luke tweet of the week.
Red 5 standing by.
Because if there's something to whine about, you can count on Luke.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Even though he's now an old man.
No!
It just isn't fair.
Full John Denver. Man, we've become mean on the show, I think. Man, we're just mean. Well, Greg, what do you got for us?
I'm worried about him. That's all I'm saying is I'm worried about him. I want to make sure that he takes care of himself. All right? He's very important to me and my family.
Country road, don't take him home. Man.
If he would have stayed on the country road, he would have been okay.
He wasn't even on a road. He was in the air.
Greg, what is Very Lonely Luke up to this week?
Lonely Luke is still around, and it seems like it's been a while since we visited with the old VLL out there and on the island of whatever the name of the island is, because I can't remember what it is right now. But I'm actually going to go back just from today. This is Very Lonely Luke. This is a strong one. I felt I really got a kick out of it. It says, sometimes when I board, I call up Admiral Akbar. I just scream, "It's a trap!" and then hang up. It freaks him out. Days, I said. Days.
Days.
Days. I'm glad I found that one funny.
Rough show tonight, guys. Rough show.
But rough, you know, show. What? Rough show, but I think we deserve some props for completely redoing the recording platform in mid-recording attempt. Seriously.
No doubt.
That is dedication to our fans.
Somebody's got to check on Scott, because I think he's got old Bob Iger on loop somewhere, because he's gone comatose on us.
Scott, is Scott not on?
The little light is yellow instead of green next to his name, so okay. I am concerned.
Right. Okay. Well, if you know where Scott went, you can call us and let us know. 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. You can email us Scott's location at wretchedhive@yahoo.com or geocache him on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wretchedhivepodcast. If you haven't subscribed to the show yet on iTunes and you're still willing to listen to the show after this episode, you can go to iTunes, search up your podcasts for The Wretched Hive, and we will be the first one on the list. Click subscribe, leave a review, 5 stars, 1 star, any stars. We don't care. We just want to hear from you, the fans of this here show, The Wretched Hive Podcast. And we are grateful that episode 30 is in the books. Guys, any final thoughts on this week's show?
I'm going to jump in real quick because I have a final thought. Something we haven't mentioned yet, I don't think. Maybe in passing, but it is 2017. This year is the 40th anniversary of Star Wars, guys.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
40. That hasn't really come up yet.
May 25th, right?
May 25th.
Yeah.
Also, Scott's 40th anniversary as well, I believe.
40th anniversary of Star Wars fandom? Or 40th
maybe birthday? That's, yeah, I think it's the 40th anniversary of Star Wars fandom. He's a little bit older than 40, as are most of us on this podcast.
Most of us. All right, well, guys, have a great week. May the Force be with us all, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks. All right, we're out.
Where'd Scott go?